Good morning. What a special morning. It's been special. You know, it's kind of times like this when I wish the podcast went all the way through the gathering. You know, because it's just a special morning for us. Don't you think so? People's stories of their lives and being able to watch them go through the waters, if you like, to baptize them was just incredible. And our songs, you know, sometimes when we sing songs over and over and over, and then suddenly a line will kind of come to the fore, and you think, wow, I've never really seen that like that. And there's one of the songs we did this morning, and it was something like, my version of it anyway, was that the chain would be broken by the weight of his glory. What an incredible line, don't you think so? Just amazing things of God. And I just, I'm honored to lead this community and to lead such a bunch of almost good-looking people. It's just spectacular. So, hey, we better get on this morning, and we're continuing week three with Go Again. Everybody ready to go again? And so we have been following the plight of the Israelites and looking at their story of wandering, the wilderness wanderings, as it's often referred to. And so I want us just to look where we are in the story. And for those of you who kind of have got a bit, will get a bit lost this morning because you've not been over the last few weeks, why not click on to the podcast and get up to date this week? That will help you come up to date. But basically where we are in the story is that after 40 years, come on, this is a long time. How many know? If you're 60 or 70, you don't think 40 years is a lot. If you're 18, how many know that 40 years is a long, long time? And they have been journeying on around this wilderness for 40 years, and God's people, he brings God's people back. Everyone say back. They find themselves back at a familiar place. And this is on the banks of the River Jordan. And something that I just want to tell you this morning is that God is trying to draw you back. He's trying to bring you back. And you may not think that you need bringing back, but God is trying to bring you back. Everyone say back. God's trying to bring you back to a place. For some of you, that is the back at the place where all of this started for you with your God journey. You know, for some of you, that's many, many years. For some of you, that's more than 40 years ago. For some of you, that's just a few years ago. But can you remember the time? Can God this morning just bring you back to a place, to the place where you first said yes to him? You remember that very special moment, and it's so many different stories of how that happened, and we all have our own life story, but that point where you said yes for the first time to Jesus, that bringing you back to that moment where that first prayer of dedication to God, where you say, God, do you know what? You've done so much for me in my life. I will do anything for you. I will give anything. I will go anywhere. God, just show me, because really I just want to do what you want me to do. Do you remember that prayer? That time in that special celebration where we were all together, and it may not have been in this arena, it may have been somewhere else, but you know, it was that time where you were asked, if you feel at this moment that God is speaking directly into your life, if you know he's challenging you to go somewhere, you know that he's challenging you to be a certain way or to do something for him, would you stand right now? And you stood with fear and trepidation, but you stood to your feet and said, God, that's me. Bringing us back to a place where once we're there, we're ready to say maybe our second yes to Jesus. And maybe for some of you, that's what this is. Maybe there's a battle been going on even over the last few weeks as you've heard these talks that is kind of coming to the point where you're ready to say yes one more time. That's where I've been. And I'm sure that's where some of you have been also, where you're ready to say yes and to go again. But I wonder this morning where you are with your yes. Where are you with your yes? What does yes to God, what does yes to Jesus mean for you in your life today? Well, God's answer. Everyone say answer. We were looking at having the answer last week in this story, and we're going back there, but I was thinking about God's answer. God's answer is always go into the fullness of my promise. That's always God's answer. That there's never any kind of half kind of promises with God. It's always, would you come with me into the fullness of what I have for you? However, sometimes we come up with our own answer. Sometimes we kind of guess the answer. We kind of think, oh, this is what God wants, or maybe a little bit more of what we want. And very often in life, we come up with our own answer, and we start to live in that postcode, which is exactly where these guys, the Israelites, were up to when they were back on the banks of the River Jordan. I read some verses to you, and I want to go back there this week, Numbers chapter 32. It will come up on the screen. Just let me read verse 1 and verse 5 to you for the sake of time this morning. But verse 1 of 32, as in Numbers 32, says this: the tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. So they were pretty, you know, they were pretty wealthy. They had some stuff. So when they that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for their flocks and herds, basically, verse 2 says they went to Moses and the guys. Verse 5 says, if we have found favor with you, please let us have this land as our property instead of giving us the land across the River Jordan. The version that you're looking at right now says, and don't let us cross the River Jordan. These people were stood on one side of the river, and they were seeing the fruitfulness of what was there, but they were forgetting that there was the whole inheritance that God had for their lives, which lay across the river. They were stood on the east side of the Jordan, and their full promise lay on the west side of the River Jordan. God's answer really for them was to go into the whole promise. Their answer was, let's stay here. Sometimes we come up with our own answer and we live there. They'd come up with their own answer. And I want to say something. If we feel a little bit like the children of Israel, that we've come a long way and we've settled a little bit, and you know what, Dave, we've got an answer to our life now. We've kind of found the answer. Let me say this to you. Sometimes having the answer to your life, having it all worked out, having the answer to your life can be your biggest hindrance to going again. Hear me this morning. And here's why. Because in your mind, you've already arrived. In your mind, you've already settled. And you may think, no, I haven't settled. But really, when we look, we understand, when we found a place where we feel we have the answer, that is where we settle. Do you know something about pioneers? Pioneers are only pioneers when they're pioneering. When pioneers stop pioneering, they'll be called settlers. That's so easy to happen in our lives as well. And the tendency is this, that we get trapped in the answer. You know, you can have your answer and you can be trapped in your answer. I suppose to some degree it's a little bit like the monkey. What? The monkey? It's a little bit like the monkey who saw the answer to his life in a jar of nuts. And you can imagine this monkey seeing this jar of nuts. Now, you've got to go with me on this one. How many know there's nothing in this jar? But there is. Your answer lies within this jar. And the monkey kind, and to the monkey, there are lots of nuts in this jar. And the monkey thinks, do you know what? This is the answer. If I can only get hold of the answer and live in this answer, everything will be fine. God, leave it to me. Just bless my plans. You say, God, that if I have plans, they will succeed. You will bless them. God, please bless my plan. The monkey comes along and thinks, wow, look at all those nuts in the jar. And he puts his hand in the jar and thinks, oh my word, this feels amazing. I have never had so many nuts in all my life. This is truly the answer. And he grabs as many nuts as possible, clenches his hand and thinks, I'm in the answer. I've found the answer. I have the answer. My hand is in the answer. I have all these nuts in my hand and it's the answer. If I can get my hand out of it, I'll be doing all right. You can laugh, but I'm going to talk about you being this monkey in a minute. Like, what is going on with this jar? And the monkey's getting more and more frustrated because it's got the answer in its hand. The whole answer to its life is in there, and it's like, does this monkey not know that the issue is the fact that he's clenching on to the nuts? Yeah, but the point being, Dave, that if I let go of the nuts, I can get some release. But if I'm hold of the answer, and that I think this is the answer, I'm going to live in the answer, then how many know that I've got a jar on my hand? Do you know, some of us are going through life with a jar hanging off our hand. Some of you think that's funny about the monkey, but some of you look like this. Some of us, we think we get the answer to our life and we think, God, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for the day that I said yes to you. But do you know what? I've grown up a bit. You know how this life game works now? And I found an answer in this lifestyle that I have. And God, leave me here. I'm okay. I don't want to go across any river. Why are you speaking to me about crossing the river? I'm okay on the east side of Jordan. How many know this? He looks pretty stupid hanging from my hand right now. You know, the interesting thing is that when we're in that lifestyle, people look at us and you become their role models. It's like, wow, look what they've done with their life. Look how successful they've been. And young couples grow up and they start to look to you and they think, wow, it's awesome. They found the answer. Yeah, they're still loving Jesus, but they found their answer. They're not going anywhere. They're just settled in what they found. The only thing is, the giveaway is the jar that's hanging from your hand. Does that make sense? I'll try and get my hand out of this jar. You know, it kind of shows that when we're living like that, it's really hard to let go. Because we found something that we believe is the answer. Haven't you know when you think you've got the answer, you're going to clench your feet, you're not going to let go of it. And the only way to actually go God's way, because this is what happens, right? What tends to happen is when we get the answer, God's way goes by the wayside. Because we're now living in that lifestyle. Does this make sense? It only, when you release, it's only when you let go of that thing that you think is the answer that you can find some freedom. Because we get trapped in the answer. You know, we struggle to let go of what we believe is the answer for our lives. You know that? Anything we believe is the answer for our life that is our thinking, we struggle to let go of. Because we think if we let go of it, we lose something. That's why your second yes to Jesus, your third yes, is always harder than your second or your first. Because you think you found something, And it's like, I'm not letting go of this, so I'm not going to say yes again because I've found the answer. How many know we can look just like the monkey that thinks it's got the answer to its life, but really it's just fooling itself, and until it lets go and stops clenching the nuts, it ain't going to be free. While we're on this, let me say this. We need to be a new generation thinkers, church. We need to be a new generation thinking church. You know, as we read this story, we recognize that as they were by the banks on the east side of the River Jordan, the Bible tells us that there is a completely new generation that's come through over the 40 years. So there was a new generation. But let me tell you this. The Israelites, there was a brand new generation, but they weren't new generation thinkers. You see, we just think new generation, new thinking. Doesn't work like that. Just because we are a new generation doesn't mean that we are new generation thinkers. In Numbers 32, there's a little bit of a giveaway here. Numbers 32, verse 14. Says these words, harsh words, listen. So the leader says to these guys who want to stay on this side of the River Jordan and make their home there because they've got the answer, says, but here you are, a brood of sinners. When was the last time you were called that? Here you are, a brood of sinners doing exactly the same thing. You are making the Lord even angrier with Israel. You are making the Lord angrier with Israel. You know, I said to you, I made a throwaway comment last week, God's not reasonable. You know, we think, oh, a reasonable God. A reasonable request. We've got a great lifestyle. We've got an answer, God. Leave us alone. Be reasonable. We still love you. We're still going to give. We're still going to come along now and again. What's the issue? Let me tell you, when it comes to your destiny, God is totally unreasonable. Because God wants you to reach a destiny. He wants to take you to the place that he's trying to get you to. Numbers 32, verse 14 says this stuff, you brood of sinners, blah, blah, blah. Basically, he's saying this. I'm not going again. I'm doing the same thing as my father. In not going again, I am doing the same thing as my father's did. Another version says, you're just like your parents. Some of you will like that, some of you won't like that. You are just like your parents. But as we read on, we see unlike Joshua and Caleb. Everyone say Joshua. Everyone say Caleb. These were two leaders of those tribes that we're speaking about that initially went in across the river to see all the inheritance that God had for them. That's who we're speaking about, Joshua and Caleb. Let me tell you, they weren't like these people who wanted to settle and wanted to stay. These were the guys who wanted to cross the river. And they are what I call West Side thinkers. They are West Side thinkers. And let me tell you something about West Side thinkers. They were on the west side of the river. Even though they were stood on the east side, they were thinking about the west side and all that was there waiting for them. You see, West Side thinkers look beyond just the answer. We get the answer and we want it suitable. We want to stay there. We want to live in it. But West Side thinkers want to cross the river. They look beyond the answer. They refuse to settle on the banks of breakthrough. They want to see the other side of the river. Let me say it differently. Let me say it this way. You know what? The candle was the answer. The candle was the answer. See, someone's agreeing with me right there. The candle was the answer. But you know, so I'm talking about the candle, the household candle. invented by the Egyptians 3,000 years ago. We've all been using it ever since. The candle was the answer. It was the answer to light. But you know, thank God for West Side thinkers like Thomas Edison, who looked beyond the answer. He looked beyond the answer. He had an answer. He looked beyond the answer and created and invented the light bulb. How many are glad about Thomas Edison? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he hadn't? Can you imagine if he hadn't have come along and invented that after so many tries? You know, it didn't happen in one go. There's a whole story of how many hundreds and hundreds of times they tried different things and it failed. But you know what? He was a West Side thinker. He was determined on not settling for what we had, just the answer we had, but wanting to go beyond the answer. You know, God is calling us to be a church that goes just beyond the answer. We've all got the answer. You know, we can say, wow, this is the answer. We've got everything we need. You know, we're doing great. This is awesome. But we're on the east side of the Jordan, and our postcode is on the west side of the Jordan. Thank God for West Side thinkers like Thomas Edison. Let me tell you another one, the propeller. Everyone say the propeller. You know, the propeller was the answer. When you think about the invention of the propeller and where that took us, you know, on land, the propeller had its use. On sea and under the water, that the propeller had its use. In the air, the propeller had its use. An absolutely incredible invention. You know, someone would go again beyond the answer and develop the jet engine. They just didn't settle for the answer. There was something beyond the answer, that something that lay beyond the river that God wanted them to have in their fullness, so they never settled for the propeller. Thank God for people like Frank Whittle, who developed and invented the jet engine. Can you see what I'm saying? Beyond the answer. So what I'm speaking about this morning is all about people who are prepared to go again. I'm asking you as a church community, collectively and individually, with your families, are you prepared to go again? Are we a church that's going to settle in what we have and thank God for what we have? It's suitable. Do you know that? It's suitable. It's very suitable. The land that we now live in, the land that God has blessed us with, the people that God has blessed us with, it's all good. We could settle here. We could live here. Thanks, Moses. We don't want to go across the river. We're okay here. We've got everything we need here. Why would we want to go across the river? But I want to say for us that our full inheritance as a church community lies on the other side of the river. Does anybody agree with that? It lies on the other side of the river. Imagine for a moment that someone gave you 50 grand. Someone came along, well, they weren't there, they died, and they left you £50,000 inheritance. Here's my question. Would you take it? Would you take it? You're saying, Dave, why are you asking us such a stupid question? How many would take the 50 grand? And for those of you who have not lifted your hand, I'll have yours. I'm a few hundred thousand quid better off this morning. Of course we would take the money. It's not like, oh, it's okay, I've got the answer. I'm earning a living, I don't need it. I take my income. I'm fine. I don't want it. Thank you very much. I'm happy where I am. It's suitable for where I am. Do you know what? I think we would all be liars if we didn't say we would take it. And you know what? We wouldn't want half of it. You wouldn't say, oh, I'll have 25 grand, thank you. The other 25 grand you can give to somebody else. If I know you, I reckon you would want the fullness of the entitlement that is yours, right? So we're all settled on the fact that we would take this inheritance. So please answer this question. So why would we be prepared to live in a postcode that rebuffs the full inheritance of God for our lives? We would have to be pretty stupid, wouldn't we? In the same way that we wouldn't take every single penny of that £50,000 that is our entitlement, God says, my promise, my full promise is for you, and it's for you, and it's for you, and it's for your family, and your family. My question is, who is ready to say yes again? Who's ready? You're saying, Dave, you don't know where I am right now. You don't know my circumstance. You don't know my family. You really don't know where it's at. You think you might, but you don't. I'm saying, where are you with your yes to Jesus right now? As I round this off, and there's so much more that I could say this morning, and I feel I don't even need to go there today. I say to you, let's not settle on the river banks of breakthrough. Let's not do that as a church. You know, there are times where, many years ago now, there are some of you left who said your yes to Jesus back then. And sometimes it's been a bit of a bumpy ride, bit of a difficult time, both personally in our own homes and in the bigger home, this family known as today's community church. There have been some struggles and some challenges. But I thank God for where He's brought us today. I thank God for all that He's done through people's faithfulness. Through the fact that people were willing to say yes to Jesus. And all the sacrifice and all the joy and the hardship and the hard work to bring us to a place where I believe God is saying, now it's time to go again. It's time to go again. And so let's not settle on the banks of breakthrough. Let's not rob our family. Yes, I say rob. Let's not rob our family by pitching our tent in a suitable place. Does anybody agree with this today? Let's not live in a postcode of suitability. I asked myself a question this week. Why do churches often settle at the point of suitability? You know, I was looking for this deep answer. Why do churches often settle at a point of suitability? I came up with this answer: because it's suitable. Because it's suitable. I think God is calling us beyond suitability. I want us to close right now. There's so much more I want to challenge on, but please, let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. And as our heads are bowed, let me just bring just a challenge to us. I'm not looking for this, you know, massive response at the front. That may come during this series. I believe it needs to. I believe if we challenge, we need to make an opportunity for response. But once again, I challenge at a certain level, and I finish here by saying, you know, some of you are trapped in your own answer. You know, you wouldn't want to be known as the monkey with its fist clenched inside that jar of nuts, holding on to some stuff that maybe you feel you deserve, maybe you feel you've created, maybe a lifestyle that you're now living. Let me tell you to hold on to that stuff, whatever it looks like in that jar for you. To hold on to that stuff on this side of the river means we miss out on God's plan and destiny for our lives. And we have a choice. We can choose to live with our hand, with the jar hanging off the bottom of our hand, or we can choose to let go and say, God, I release this to you. How many know God doesn't want to rob anybody? God, I just release my answer. Lord, I believe this is the answer. I've come to my own answer. And God, your plans have just gone a little bit by the wayside. For me and my family, God, I want to be in a place where we cross the river. God, I want to be a new generation thinker. God, I want to be a West Side thinker. I don't want to live in the East when you say West. I want you to do something for me. I want you to unclench your hand. I want you to unclench your hand that is so hold of this answer. You're so holding on to this answer. And I want you to open your hand. And you may say, Dave, if I do that, that means this or it means that. It means all kinds of things for my life and for my family. But God is calling you to the West Side. God is calling you to think differently. God is calling you to His way. God doesn't want you to miss out on the full inheritance. He doesn't want you to grab on to a bogus inheritance. But He wants everything that He has for your life. I want you to unclench your hand. You know, when we unclench our hand, you may feel that stuff drops out. Let me tell you, when your hand is open, God can put so much into your hand. God's not devoid of stuff. God's not devoid of purpose. No, God's not devoid of promise. But we would be pretty dumb, to be honest. We would be like that monkey if we believed that God wanted us to unclench our hands so that there's nothing in our hand. God wants to place destiny in your hand for you and your family. And I physically want you all to stand right now. Come on, let's do that together. And why not just where you are? I'm not going to make this open appeal this morning, but just where you are, why don't you make a response? Why don't you clench your fist as a symbol of, God, this is my life. I've been living, Lord, in this answer and kind of felt that I've come to this answer. But God, I'm holding on to it and it's keeping me on this side, Lord. And I know that in order to go to the other side of the river, God, I've got to unclench my fist. I've got to allow you to put some things into my hand. And in order for you to do that, I've got to let go. I wonder, as you stood there, I wonder if you just let go. Physically let go. Let go of that stuff. Let go of those plans. Let go of that answer. The thing that you felt was the answer. Let me tell you, there is an answer beyond your answer. But it lies on the other side of the Jordan. I wonder if you'd release that stuff right now. You say, Dave, I don't know what this means. Let me tell you, God knows what this means. Let me tell you that as you let go of that stuff, and some of you are going to find that hard right now because it's suitable. But as you let go of that stuff, And as you have an open hand, God is going to fill your hands with the unexpected. Come on. With the unexpected. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Stop clinging on to that stuff and let God fill your hand with the unexpected. Let him fill your life with his inheritance.